To you all, it's good to be in the house with you. Are you enjoying your summer? Have you had enough vacations yet? No? Okay, well, whenever that comes around, you just have yourself a ball, all right? Relax, and as the young generation, chillax, is that still a word? Chillax? Yeah, still a word, that's what Oliver says, yeah. Still a word, so... good to be with you this morning, and all the exciting things happening. The month of August is going to be coming up here quick, and as you just heard, a lot of things happening, and how exciting for you and I to be a part of what God's doing this time of the year. Praise God. Just wanted to share with you, there's been, had some communication with John, Pastor John, and he is doing fine. And he's with his lovely wife, Glenda, and they're going through the process of healing and service in the medical community. And he wants you to know that there has been perhaps some question among you what's going on with John. And is Pastor John all right? Well, he's on sabbatical and has been since March 20th. And... you may be wondering, well, what's next? We heard something about next steps for August. Well, that's for newcomers to the house. But what about next steps for Pastor John? And John wants you to know that he has every intention of coming right back to worship with you guys and lead this church in September, the middle of September. I think we're looking at around the 18th of September, something like that, where he'll be coming back. So his comment is, Lord willing, I'll be back. That's my plan. And then he followed up by saying, and the Lord is willing. And so we're happy to hear that. And John is busy during this time of sabbatical in ways that we never would have dreamed, but in some ways we do. We never would have dreamed about the medical needs for his wife and things going on there in that regard. But we did expect and kind of could have said, yeah, that's John for sure. He's connecting with other churches in the area and other leaders in the area. New pastors coming to Ottawa, and he's out there introducing himself and promoting unity in the body of Christ in this region. I think that's such a wonderful, wonderful mission. And he takes that to his heart dearly. You know that about him. And so we're a part of one church with many families, many congregations, aren't we? And it's good to be a part of God's work. So I just wanted to convey that word to you that John is feeling good and you can look forward to September. Until then, you're going to still have to deal with me. And bless your heart. You didn't have to do that. Oh, my. Well, we have been enjoying, at least I have, hope you have been, enjoying the Gospel Project. This one has been used a lot, but if you haven't got one of these booklets yet to take notes, I think there's still some available. Are there still some available? There is. I see thumbs up from Pastor Katie. So if you'd like one that's a helpful little tool for finding the week with the bookmark, this week's bookmark is from Mark chapter 6 through verse 13. And it's entitled, Take Nothing for the Journey. These are helpful little tools that come to us and are shared with us here at Christ Community from a church in Janesville, Wisconsin that we're a part of, a faith community. And believe me, the spiritual DNA is very similar between these two bodies. And I'm very, very happy to be able to represent my pastor, Jeff Williams, and faith community in Janesville, but also to be able to share some resources with you here at Christ Community in Ottawa. So it's just good to have that connection because we are one in Him, aren't we? So today we are looking at Mark chapter 6, beginning at verse 6. And we have the scripture there. The title of that lesson is Take Nothing for the Journey. And I want to read the scriptures to you. Don't have them on the screen for you, but I'm going to read them out of my NIV. Now, my NIV must be a little bit older than the current NIVs because some of the words in my NIV are a little bit different than the current form. think it's just an updated version of the NIV. But we're going to read to you from verses 7 through 13. Well, we'll start at 6b and go through 13. Then Jesus went around teaching from village to village, calling the 12 to him. He sent them out two by two and gave them authority over evil spirits. These were his instructions. Take nothing for the journey except a staff, no bread, no bag, no money in your belts. Wear sandals, but not an extra shirt. Whenever you enter a house, stay there until you leave that town. And if any place will not welcome you or listen to you, shake the dust off your feet when you leave as a testimony against them. They went out and they preached. They preached that people should repent. They drove out many demons and anointed many sick people with oil and healed them. Let us pray as we jump into these verses of Scripture today. Father, thank you so much for all that you provide for us. Today we declare that you are our security. We declare our trust and our confidence is in you and no one else. And so we ask you to bless the word here today. Anoint it to our hearts. Let it be as balm and as water to heal and to refresh. In the precious name of Jesus we pray. Amen. Amen. So take nothing for the journey. Jesus' instruction. Take nothing for the journey. We're going to get into that. See, a journey, what is a journey? A journey suggests movement. It suggests travel, passage from one place to another. Suggests a mission. And if it's a mission, it could likely be messy. All of life is a journey, isn't it? I've been on my journey for about 67 years. Don't ask me how old I am, but I've been on this journey for 67 years, and it's getting better every day. So our life is a journey. This life is a journey, and it's fulfilling. This life journey becomes fulfilling only when we engage in mission and become involved in something bigger than our little bitty self. I can get so interested in myself, get so entwined in my own thoughts, get so focused on my own needs that the world just disappears. Is that what God wants for his people? I think not. He wants our lives to be focused on his heart and on his mission and what he sees. And so all of life is a journey. Where are you in your journey? What have you experienced so far in your journey? What do you anticipate about the next 3 to 5 years or the next decade? What can you see in your mind's eye about your journey? I want to assure you right up front here that wherever your journey goes, wherever you find yourself on your journey, as your heart is open to the Holy Spirit, as your heart is open to Jesus Christ and his sacrificial love for you, he will always be with you on your journey. You can take courage and confidence in the fact that he will be with you. See, when we travel and go on journeys, we plan many journeys upon our journey, don't we? We do little travel planning. Let's talk about travel planning. When I do travel planning, this is kind of how my mind works. Can we get that up there to begin with? First of all, we start considering the cost. How much are we willing to spend? How much are we willing to dole out? We start looking at safety. Are there some safety features to the place that I want to go? Or are there some safety features about my vehicle? Tires and oil changes. How about that? And then our expectation of and the purpose of travel. We start considering all these things as we start envisioning going on a journey. And then we get into some more specifics. And so we go to the next level. We identify a destination. Okay, where are we going to go? Where are we heading to? We're going to go to Gulf Shores, Alabama? Are we going to go to Cozumel? Are we going to go to Cancun? What would be the destination? Is it New York City, Dallas, San Antonio, Fort Lauderdale? Or what is it, Seattle? Maybe Victoria, British Columbia. Ooh. But what's the destination? Secondly, determine what's the best mode. If that's my destination, what's the best mode of travel? See, we go through a lot of planning sometimes. We don't really think about how much planning goes into a travel. So we determine the best mode of travel. Will it be train? Will it be car? Will it be walking? Will it be bicycle? Will it be airfare? Will it be airplane? How will it be? Then we select the best route. Either by car, put it into our GPS and see where GPS takes us. Don't count on GPS all that well because we've had our episodes. Have you had episodes that did not work out well for you with GPS? Oh, yes. Traveling one time to Charlottesville, South Carolina. I got there like at 12 o'clock midnight. Had a car reserved, and when I got to the area of the car rental facilities, they were all dark. And I had a car rental already paid for, but they were all dark. And I went, what is going on now? Okay, Lord, I just need a little help. So I walked down the road, dark, 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 dark. And then I look over here, and there was one lady just turning out the lights in the back office. I said, oh, yes, young lady, could you help me? Are you able to give me some assistance? And sure enough, she says, well, how can I help you? I said, I need a car. So she did get me a car at the last second and to get me to my destination. And so I got in the car, hallelujah, I got a car. I turned on my GPS and started driving, as it said. And just, I don't know what was going on. Maybe it was a time of night. Maybe I was driving too fast. Turn left at the next intersection. I just passed that intersection. So I go around the block and get back on route. Turn right on Highway 12. I just passed Highway 12. So be careful about GPS, right? It's not a perfect system. And so there needs to be the vision of what's the best route for us traveling. Next slide, please. Then we imagine what are some of the potential needs we're going to have. Let's see. Okay, I better bring my swimming suit, better bring my hiking shoes, I better bring an umbrella, don't forget the shaving kit. You know, you go through the whole list, don't you? And so you imagine the potential needs, and then you picture the potential opportunities. What kind of things are we going to experience down there? What could we? Oh, we'll be able to experience the ocean. We'll be able to experience maybe some skydiving. Not that will never happen in this guy's life. No, why jump out of a perfectly good airplane is what I always say. You know that. So, but what are the opportunities? And then we go to anticipate the unexpected. Every good plan, every good travel plan has an opening in it for the unexpected. And it's the unexpected aspect of traveling that makes this thing so exciting, isn't it? When you get there and you say, I don't want to plan everything to the detail. Let's leave a little room for flexibility. Is that how you travel? Sure, why not? Leave a little room for the sideshow. A little bit of room off on the side of the highway. There are little things that catch your attention. And so we make these plans. And as we do, we pile on all this mental baggage. We pile on all these things that we're needing to be mindful of. And sometimes we just get overpacked. Jesus gives guidance and he says, don't what? Pack nothing for the journey. Don't overpack for the journey. Have you ever overpacked? Sometimes I've looked like this. You got some pictures there for me? That'd be great. Traveling light. Yeah. Going to get to that destination. Yeah. I've traveled like that. Have you ever traveled like that? I mean, we've always said let's not overpack, so we've tried to keep it to one bag in the overhead compartment. That's a good way to limit how much you're going to pack. If you can do it that way, in my mind, that works swell for me. Some people, I think, John, Pastor John, he'll go with his cell phone. I don't know how he does that, but I guess you just don't want to overpack. You know, overpacking can get us into situations that we are oblivious to our surroundings. One time, did I ever tell you about our pickpocket in Prague? Did I ever tell you about that story? We were traveling to the Prague, Czech Republic, and here we are with suitcases, pulling suitcases, things over our back, and we get to a subway station, and everybody is either going to work, coming home from work, but nobody's traveling with suitcases like we are. So we had a lot on our mind, a lot on our shoulders, and we were obviously a target. And so as the train pulled up to the station, nobody was there at the gate until the train stopped. And then as we saw the way was clear, we walked up to the train door, and immediately people gathered in behind us, crowded in behind us, and then I felt someone reach for that back pocket. And I know not to keep my wallet in my back pocket when you're traveling. You always keep it up front or locked up someplace else. Someone reached up and grabbed that wallet out of my pocket, and I felt that. Well, anyhow, we got, long story short, we almost lost it all because we were so overpacked and it was so overburdened with so many things on our mind that we just had so many things to take care of, and someone took advantage of that. So Jesus' admonishment, his instructions for travel, are very meaningful in the fact that it helps simplify our day. It kind of limits where our mental energies and our focus and our attention is when we travel lightly. Amen? So Jesus gives guidance. He tells us what not to bring. He says, no bread, no bag, no money in your belts. What's going on? I'm going to need, you know, if I'm planning to have my ID, my passport, a form of payment like a debit card, my toothbrush, and as long as there's a Goodwill or a Walmart near where we're going, I'm going to be okay, right? Jesus says, don't bring any of that with you. And I believe the truth here is that he's looking for us to be dependent totally upon himself. So that as we're traveling through this journey in life, on the daily basis, I'm not talking about the specific plans, going to this destination, that, but as you're walking, as I'm walking through my life, God is asking us to trust and depend upon him for our supply. He's able to do that. He's proven himself able to do that. And so he tells us to don't bring these things that you would overpack with, but rather trust and depend upon me. He was saying relationships are going to supply what you lack. When you meet houses in the cities you go to, houses, oikos, family connections, expect to find there that individuals who will share community with you, and they'll help supply what's lacking in your need and as you walk through life. Relationships are very important. How many, if you've gotten involved in a small group, you can know that there's a great place to get to know people, and people get to know you in such a level where you now have like another brother, or you've got another sister that's close to you, and they understand what's going on in your life. And many times resources are shared back and forth. Sometimes that resource is maybe a cash help, or maybe it's a help with an automobile breakdown, or maybe it's you need a ride across town, but they're sharing resources. And Jesus is encouraging his disciples to depend upon community to accomplish the mission that he has laid out for them. I'm so proud of you as a church to be involved in small groups, because that's in the likeness of Jesus Christ. It's right up his alley, if you will. That is on target for his mission. He loves community. He gathered 12 around him. That's a good size of a small group right there, isn't it? 12 in a small group is a good size. So Jesus, then he goes on and he tells them what not to bring. or what to bring, excuse me. He just got done telling him what not to bring, but he tells him what to bring. He says, bring a staff. Bring nothing except a staff. A staff. A rod. Why would he suggest that? Well, there may be some spiritual reasons. There may be some physical reasons, too. A staff will help you walk. It's a good walking stick. Have you ever had walking sticks? Yep, you know what the aid is provided in walking sticks. A staff is also a good protection when you're walking from place to place. When Vicki and I take walks, we have a circuit that we go on. And sometimes we get off the circuit, we discover there's dogs out in the front yard. And there's times when I've had to step in, protect Vicki, or she's had to step in. No, she would never do that. But dogs. And so a staff is a way to protect yourself, to ward off evil. And that's significant itself because a staff or a walking stick or a rod is symbolic of spiritual power. It's symbolic of miraculous things. Isn't it Moses who was told to hold up the rod over the Red Sea? And what happened? Red Sea parted. What did he do with Pharaoh before the Red Sea was departed? He threw his rod down. It became a snake, a miraculous sign and wonder for God to set his people free. And so he's saying, I want you to believe me as you're going forward in your walk, in your journey. Believe me that I want to do the miraculous through you. And sometimes it'll be the miraculous that'll show up in a friendship. It'll be a miraculous that shows up in a need that you have, and all of a sudden something happens. You see, following the lead of the Holy Spirit is so critical in this journey that we're on. We can trust ourselves so much and have great confidence in our ability to plan, but the plans of man always seem to fall short. But it's the Lord's purpose that always prospers. And so when we get going with him, he says, I will prosper you. Take with you these only necessary things, and I will be with you. Miraculous things are going to happen through you. He's going to heal people through you, through your relationship, through your kindness and your willingness to come alongside. And when the Holy Spirit directs us, it's very important that we respond. Well, how do I know it's the Holy Spirit? You have to decide that for yourself. You know, around our house, we have an older home, and we've been working on this thing for 30 years. It's been a labor of great love. And there's some projects that I can do myself, and there's others that I know I need help with. And so I want to get a contractor. And so oftentimes when I've needed a contractor, it seems like it takes me a year or more, 6 months, 12 months, eight. There was a driveway, a concrete driveway project I was trying to get. It took me 3 years to get a contractor to come over. I know they're busy, you know. They got other things going on. And it's hard to get a contractor lined up. Have you ever worked with that? If you're a contractor in here, I understand that you've got a lot happening, a lot going on. I'm not belittling you, but sometimes it's frustrating for us, isn't it? Try to get it lined up. And so that's been my practice, my experience. And so just recently, I thought, well, I need to replace my concrete steps. They're just huge and obnoxious, and I can't remove them myself, so I need a contractor. So I said, better start planning now. I might get it done next spring. I don't know. And so I called up this one guy, and he says, you know, I can't get to it in a couple months. I said, oh, okay. Well, he says, before we hung up, he says, but I do have a buddy that I think he's still doing this kind of work, because I know he's going to leave the area. He said, I'll give you his number. Maybe you want to give him a call. So I said, all right. So I wrote it down. Psh, psh. And so I wrote this guy, his number down, and I called him back, and his name was Bill. I said, hey, Bill, I got your number from Jason over here at, and it was called Graceful Concrete. That's the name of the guy's business. I thought, dude, this is an indication of something possible. And so Graceful Contractor referred me to this other guy, Bill. Bill's Earth is the name of his business. I said, Bill, I've been referred to you by Jason, and this is what I got. And he said, well, I'm free right now. I'll come over and take a look at the project. So he comes over, takes a look at the project. That's not uncommon. I've had a lot of quotes. Had a lot of contractors quote, but this one, he came over and he says, you know, this is a project that I can, I've got all the equipment I need to do this. Matter of fact, I can do this tomorrow. Tomorrow? Well, that's really interesting. Let's do it. We agreed right on the spot. Let's get that done. You see, what did that tell me? No, that told me something's different about this relationship right here. There's something different going on here. Graceful, and then this guy's able to come and do this right now. And so Bill came the next day, and he did his contracting work, and he broke up that concrete, hauled it all off, and did a great job, and we paid him off. And while we were talking and giving him payment, I started talking to Bill. I said, Bill, what's going on? I understand you're leaving there. He says, yes. I said, I got great plans. I said, what are your great plans? He says, I'm moving to Arizona. Moving to Arizona. You're moving to Arizona? Yeah. I'm moving to Arizona. I'm going to go gold prospecting. I said, what? He said, he was straight-faced. I said, yeah. He says, it's something I've always wanted to do in my life. And he says, I've got the equipment. I've been in contact with landowners in Arizona. And we're discussing mineral rights right now. And he says, I really want to go to Arizona, and so I'm leaving next week, which would be like next week. And so, well, that is remarkable. I gave him his cash. He said, thanks a lot for the good job. And he walked away, and off he went. And then that evening, I started thinking, I missed an opportunity. I just missed an opportunity. And so I called Bill up. I said, hey, Bill, this is Mike. He says, oh, hey, Mike, how's it going? I said, hey, I just wanted to let you know I was thinking about you. And I just wanted to know if, I said, I don't know if you're a Christ believer or not. If you're a Christ follower, I just don't know. I said, but I feel like I should call you up and I want to pray for you. I want to pray for you because I know you've got a project in mind and you're going places and you want to see something happen in your life. And so I said, would you mind if I prayed for you? He says, oh, not at all. And so I prayed for him, and in so many words, I said, Father, I just thank you for Bill. I thank you for his life. I thank you for the vision that you've dropped in his life. And I just pray that as he moves to Arizona, that he will not only find the biggest gold vein in the earth, but he will also find some choice connections, some of the best life connections he has ever experienced in his life. And keep him safe as he travels. We ask you for this in the name of Jesus Christ. He said, thank you. Thank you, Mike. Thank you very much. I appreciate that. You see, there's more to that story. I said, Bill, if you ever want to talk, if you got questions, or you ever want to discuss things, give me a call. You got my name and number? You got my email address? Let's connect. I'd love to get to know you. And I said, who knows? You might find that gold you're looking for, and I want you to remember me, right, buddy? I said, no, I did say that, but I said, I'm more concerned, I want to be your friend. You see, there was something that was going on at the beginning of how all these connections came together that talked to my spirit and said, there's something else going on besides just business as usual. The Holy Spirit is working in people's lives, and Jesus is asking us as his followers to be sensitive to the leading of the Holy Spirit. You see, why did Jesus do this? Send them out two by two. Well, let's go back a little bit. What happened just before this? Like last week we were talking about this. He went to Nazareth, went to his hometown, and there was a lot of unbelief and lack of faith, and he could do not many miracles there because of their unbelief. And now we're standing here, and Jesus decides to go elsewhere, and then he calls his 12 to him, and I really kind of sense that Jesus is really realizing now that those disciples, these 12, experience what unbelief can do. What unbelief can do. Limit the resources of God. Limit the move of God. Put God in a stalemate situation. What unbelief can do. Jesus says, we need more army out there. More than just one. I need you 12 to go out. And so he empowered those 12 to go forth into the world and to represent him and to carry the authority of miraculous power. You and I, through the power of the Holy Spirit, have just such power to do so. And he says, don't take too much with you. Keep it trimmed down. Do some, what do you call it, decluttering of your life. Don't take bitterness, anger, resentment with you. Lay that at the cross. Leave that alone. Don't allow hatred to dominate. I heard somewhere in the scripture today, Proverbs chapter 10 from the Passion Translation, hatred enlivens or keeps old old arguments alive. Hatred does that. It's time for us to let go of those things and to bring that to Jesus Christ and unload ourselves, because you and I have a great task at hand. You and I have a great journey to enter on and to go forward into. Time to let go. Time to declutter. Time to undo the heavy burdens of responsibilities that you've been carrying that are not yours to carry. We're in a crazy world right now, and I know there's sometimes that things get laid on us individually from experiences. But sometimes we just need to take the insurance of Jesus Christ and allow it to do its work. Several years ago, my wife and I took advantage of something on our auto policy called non-owned vehicle coverage. Ever heard of non-owned vehicle coverage? You probably have some on your automobile policy. You don't really realize it. But it's coverage for liability in the event you're driving someone else's car and you have an accident with it. Then that your liability from your policy is going to cover that occurrence. We had an experience like that happen. We were borrowing someone's car during a Sheaves for Christ walkathon many, many years ago. And someone loaned their car to us, and we were going to go get some food at the next checkpoint, and they forgot to tell us that the brakes were a little tricky. And they were tricky, all right. Coming up to a stop sign, coming really slow, fortunately going real slow, maybe 10, 15 miles an hour. Nothing there. And cruised right up behind an elderly couple and bumped them. Boom. And immediately Vicky gets out and she looks over at those people, and they had lost their glasses. And so they took quite a shot on that. This was a Toronado. It was a bigger vehicle. Of course, everything was bigger back in the 70s. But this was a big tank of a vehicle, and boom, non-owned vehicle occurrence. See, sometimes people will lay things on you that you don't own. Life will come at you, and they lay stuff on you that's not yours to carry. It's not yours to hold. It's not yours. Your name's not on it. It's non-owned, but yet there you are in the middle of it. Well, Jesus' blood covers you from all that stuff, and you can find freedom and break away from all of that stuff, all that guilt and shame that is laid upon you on a daily basis. Jesus came to give you a journey, and he wants you to get to the destination. Praise God. You see, you and I are the world's hope. Paul said to the Colossian church, it says, it's Christ in you. Christ in you is the hope of glory. Christ in you and me is the hope for the world, that the world will ever experience the glory of God. You see, the world is needing you and I right now more than ever before. The world is needing people like you and I who know how to experience loss. We know how to deal with loss. We know how to take brokenness, because brokenness is our way of getting into likeness with Jesus Christ. When we find ourselves in the middle of loss, the world sees your response and my response. And today, it's not that the world needs more champions, more winners, or more success stories. What the world really needs right now is people who understand what brokenness is all about, what forgiveness is all about, what letting go is all about. Hatred is stirred up in many areas, but it's the people of God. It's you and I who can go through our journey and disseminate and share the love of Jesus Christ, the mercies of the Lord. For he has given us great hope in our hearts, and it's Christ in you that's the hope of glory. It's Christ in you. Matthew chapter 6, I want to read to you, and we're going to close out right now as the worship team comes. Matthew chapter 6, just Jesus admonishing to us from the Sermon on the Mount. It says, therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more important than food, and the body more important than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns. And yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of much more value than they? You know the answer. Yes, you are. Who of you, by worrying, can add a single hour to his life? And why, we're going to go on, and why do you worry about clothes? See how the lilies of the field grow. They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all of his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you? Will he not much more cover you? Will he not much more protect you? Yes, he will. O, you of little faith, so do not worry, saying, what shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. Do you know that he knows? Do you know that he knows? What you're going through, what stressors you may be facing, what things you're carrying in your life, the anxieties. He's saying, do you know what I know? I know what's going on in your life. Father knows that you need them. But he goes on and says, seek first his kingdom. Make this journey of faith, this walk of faith, a priority. Make it your first objective throughout your day to follow Holy Spirit's lead, for he's going to lead you and guide you into all the truth. He's going to give you the words to speak at the moment you need them. Trust him. How exciting your life can be as you wait for and anticipate the unexpected. Let the unexpected become the expected on a daily basis. That your life is maybe has gotten dull and boring, but getting a hold of this journey the way Jesus set it up for us is a way to find great, great enthusiasm for every single day, because you get up in the morning thinking, what's going to happen today? He's got great things in store for you, because he says, seek first the kingdom and his righteousness, not your own righteousness, but his righteousness. Again, you look in Philippians and Colossians, and it's not righteousness by works or righteousness by self-effort and strategic planning, but it's righteousness by faith in the finished work of Jesus. He's completed the work. It's not Jesus plus something else. No, it's Jesus. His completed work for you and I. Seek first his kingdom and his righteousness. You can rest in his righteousness. You can lean back and say, God, thank you so much for changing my life. I used to think I was nothing. I used to think that my life was a waste. But now, because you have demonstrated your love for me, I feel valued. Psalm chapter 8, David said, I'm almost done. 1102, almost done. So Psalm 8, David is penning the words and says, what is man that you are mindful of him? But I would like to emphasize on a different syllable. Not what is man, what is man? Not what is man, but what is man? What is man that the creator of all the universe would care to hear my prayer? What is man that he would pay attention to me? What are you? You are a child of his. You are a member of his family. You are precious and loved and adored by him. He loves to spend time with you. That's what your life is, because you are valued by the Creator. You think he's got a lot on his mind? He's got all these planets and galaxies. We can't even count the galaxies anymore. Way beyond the screen of visibility, we can't see. But there's yet, that's only half of the universe when we look in this direction by the Hubble telescope. Then there's the other half over here if you look that direction. And he's got all that going, but yet he's mindful of you and aware of where you are on your journey. So seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things that he says, don't you be worried about. Don't you take those with you. Don't you be overly conscious of that stuff. I'll take care of those things. I will take care of those things. That means bread's going to show up miraculously in your refrigerator, or milk's going to show up on the shelf, or new shoes are going to be in the closet. No, he's going to give you new ideas. He's going to supply you with relationships in community where resources will be coming into you as a result of you seeking first, me seeking first, the kingdom and his righteousness. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow. Don't worry about tomorrow. Don't worry about tomorrow. Stay in the moment. If you've ever seen if you ever had an electrocardiogram, ECG, EKG, that little thing that goes up and down, wherever that little dot is, it goes up and down. That's now. That's now. Wherever that thing is on that list, that's now. And the Lord is wanting us to stay in the present. Stay present in the present. Stay in the now. Because that's where life is. That's where you and I are having the opportunity to say the kind word, to do the kind deed, to share resources with someone who may be in need, or share a word of encouragement. So I thank you today for entering into this journey. Amen. The road is open before you. Where it's going to take you, wow. What did Dr. Seuss say? Oh, the places you will go. Let's all stand together. Thank you, Father, for your goodness to us. Thank you for keeping us in your mind, that you are mindful of us and you see our life. You see the things we are in need of, and you see those around us that have need of what we possess. We just ask you to give us grace and responsiveness, ears to hear and eyes to see where Holy Spirit is leading, that we may follow that lead and respond and supply needs all around us in our world. Thank you for this journey. If you'd like to receive prayer before you leave today, there's going to be room over here for you in the corner, in the prayer corner. There'll be a team over here to pray with you. If you have special needs online, email those to us on that response card, the Connect card. We'll be happy to give those to our prayer team, and those issues and those concerns will be prayed for. God bless you, and let's have a great day in Jesus' name.